Well, the song says, He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the cross to Calvary. Thank the Lord tonight for what He has done for us and made our sins His. He bore them on His body and bore that burden. And now He tells us to follow His direction that He gives to us and to just be what we should be for Him. Some few weeks ago, we started doing some messages on the phrase where the Lord says, come unto me. And tonight we'll take up one other of that. If you'll turn in Mark chapter number 10, and we'll begin reading in verse number 17. Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 17. If I get where you can't hear me, let me know and I'll tell her to raise it up. And I don't have a whole lot of volume tonight. In Mark chapter number 10, verse 17, we begin reading the story of the rich young ruler. And it's a sad story. It's a story of one that thought he was going to be okay and do all right until the Lord gave him one instruction. And we'll find that tonight in these verses. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 says, when he's gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, befriend not, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Most of the time when we read this passage of Scripture, we are dealing with this young man that came to the Lord, that had these many possessions, that felt as though he had done all the things the Lord had commanded him and said that he should do. And he said, I've done this, I've observed these things. So he was very religious young man, probably raised in a home of a Pharisaical home that followed the tenets of the Scripture that they had. And when the Lord told him those things, he said, I've observed these from my very youth. And he comes and he recognizes and he knows there's something different about the Lord. For the Bible says here that he came running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he was concerned, not with just the good things that he had, but he was concerned about life eternal. He had been taught that there was a hereafter. He had been taught that he had had time here in this life to make preparation for the next life. And so he asked the Lord that question, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord sort of turns the message to him in a different direction. He says, why you call me good? There's no one good but God. And so he was wanting him to realize that he was talking to the Lord and was literally talking to God. And he answered the Lord, beholding him in verse 21, he loved him. I'm so thankful tonight that we can say the Lord loves sinners. He loves people. He loves those that are unlovable. He loves those that are estranged from him and are walking a far distance from him. And the Lord knew that he had one problem in his life, and that was surrender. He knew he had a problem in life of having a greed of his heart and not being willing to do everything in order to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course the Lord told him, using those things that he knew of his heart, he said, you go sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Now, he wasn't telling him he had to go sell everything to be a Christian, but he was talking to him about having a treasure that's on the other side that's more important than what we have here in this life. And it says the young man was very sorrowful. He was very grieved because he had a lot of things. He had many, many possessions. And so the Lord told him, he says, you'll have treasure in heaven. And then he says, come, take up thy cross and follow me. This is our sixth message on this subject of coming unto the Lord or coming to the Master. We dealt the first two just as a review of in Isaiah chapter number 1. God says, come now, let us reason together. And we dealt with those 2 weeks on the subject of a cleansing, that we come unto the Lord. Come, let us reason. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Of course, we know the Lord cleanses us. He washes us, and he makes us a new creature. In the third message, we use the verse of Scripture that says, come and have rest. And there we have the comfort of the Lord. A few weeks ago, the phrase was come and see, and just to see the place and see the closeness that the Lord involved those disciples. He wanted them to come to where he was so that we might know his direction. Then the last time before our camp meeting, the fifth message was come after me, and that was a commitment, how that we are to be committed to the Lord, to follow him and be committed. Now, in this passage tonight, in Mark chapter number 10, the Bible says, take up thy cross and follow me. So we're dealing tonight with a crucified life. We've dealt with the cleansing, we've dealt with the comfort, the closeness, and the different things that are involved in our life as far as commitment. Now tonight we deal with this life of a crucified life, of giving up and not doing everything we desire to do in order that we might have blessings over on the other side. There's many verses that support this invitation that the Lord gives to him, and certainly we don't have time to cover all that, but the Bible says, verily, verily, in John 13, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that hath sent greater than he that sent him. So we have one that is greater. He is our Lord. We are his servants. And so therefore, we are to be a person that has a crucified life, a crucified mind, that we would follow a self-denying individual, that there are some things that maybe are not necessarily wrong as far as the world, maybe not necessarily wrong as far as the Scripture is concerned, but we deny certain things in our life in order to let the Lord shine brighter and have that ability to shine around us. And so we're talking tonight about a crucified life, or a life that is one of self-denial. There are 17 different verses in the Bible that tell us that we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I have them all listed here. I'm not going to read them all, but there are 17 of them that have this little phrase or this word in there that we are to follow him. We've dealt with Matthew 4:19. He said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. We have dealt with that particular phrase. In Matthew 9:9, Jesus passed from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. In Mark chapter number 8, verse 34, says, and when he had called the people unto him, the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is pretty much the same passage or the same words that the Lord not only told to his disciples, but now he's telling individually to this rich young ruler. And so the verses go on and on. John chapter 10, verse number 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. And so there's a thread that runs through the New Testament, the thread that runs through the Gospels of following the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 21:19, and this is the last one, says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. I believe that is a command that God gives to every one of his people, That is command. That's a message that God gives to you and I individually, that we are to follow him. We had to come to him first for cleansing, for salvation. Then we have many times we have the comfort of the Lord and the closeness of the of God, and we are committed to him. And thank the Lord tonight we can live a life that is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. After Jesus blessed the children here in our passage, this rich young ruler comes up running to Jesus and bowing down to him, desiring how that he could have life eternal. This case, the case of this young man, he wanted to go to heaven. And, you know, a lot of people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to, they don't like all the admission requirements. They don't like what the Lord says about life. They don't like what the Lord says about personal surrender and giving over and following after him. And so this young man doesn't tell us how old he was, but he comes and he desires ability to go to heaven. He desired ability to have eternal life. That's why I said a while ago he's probably raised in a very strict or a very religious home, for he knew all about life. He knew about the commandments. He was a Jewish boy. He said, I've kept all these things. I've learned these, had these from my youth and from the time that I was a young, I've kept those things that the Lord gave unto him. And so he was very religious. He wanted to go to heaven, but he didn't like all the things. He didn't like what the Lord said about personal standing with God. You know, a lot of people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to do what the Lord tells them to do in order to go there. A lot of people don't want to get saved because they're afraid of what they might have to give up. I'll tell you what, you don't give up anything for the Lord. You give up life without God, you give up hell. But as far as giving up things for the Lord, we do not do that. And the Lord was wanting to show this young man he must realize he had to be willing to whatever come his way, to be willing to sacrifice himself if need be in order to follow the Lord. And he said, I've observed these things, but the Lord said, but there's one thing missing. Your attitude toward things, attitude toward possessions. You know, there's a lot of people in hell tonight that didn't want to follow the requirements of the Lord because of their possessions. A lot of people die without God tonight because of things in their life that they think they don't want to do without or they cannot give up. But the Lord just tells us that we believe upon him and trust him, then he will save us. It's that very simple and that very easy. I was talking to a preacher this afternoon. His wife had passed away. He'd gotten remarried, and he and the lady began to really care for each other. And she was a Catholic, and he's a Baptist preacher. And he said, before this happens, we're going to have to get on the same page. And he witnessed to her, he talked to her, but she went to a ladies' fellowship, and whoever it was, I don't even know, was talking and dealing with the personal relationship with God, and that all you had to do was just trust the Lord and ask the Lord to save you. And in that ladies' fellowship, she asked God to save her, and she goes back to the preacher, and she said, you know what you've been talking to me about? She said, I did that tonight. I took care of that. That personal surrender, no matter what we have in our hearts and our minds, no matter what we have back in the back parts of our lives that stand between us and God, if that's more important, then we'll never have the Lord as our Savior. He must be first and foremost. He must be the one that we bow to as the possessor of life. And so when we come to the Lord and we find here that the Lord said to this young man, he says, come, take up the cross and follow me. He said, you take care of you. You do what I've asked you to do. You come to me, follow me, and I'll take care of it. And the Bible says he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved. And then it says why? For he had great possessions. Those possessions were his God. Those possessions were probably the most important thing in his life, because he had come asking about eternity. He had come asking about eternal life, and now temporal things have become more important than eternal things. And the Lord said, if you'll come and you come to me and take up your cross, there's more to being a Christian than just coming to the Lord. Now that saves us, but our personal walk with God is taking up a cross. And just three simple, easy things tonight concerning this bearing of our cross. Number one, cross bearing is a personal decision. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. I can't make you. You can't make me. Bearing our cross, taking up our cross, is a personal decision. And by the way, the Lord does not make us either. He doesn't force us to be a robot. He doesn't force us to be a disciple that marches lockstep with everything that's going on. Jesus never forces anyone to bear their cross. He makes it available. He makes salvation available. And even after salvation, we do not have to bear a cross if we desire not to do that. But we'll miss the blessings. We'll miss the joy of the things in our life. And I believe we'll miss many joys in heaven because we would not follow the plan that the Lord gives us. So he doesn't force anyone to bear a cross, but he gives opportunity. He gives us an opportunity to follow him. And every believer, I think, has that opportunity. He allows our free will, our free will to decide whether or not we're going to follow him, not as Savior, but as he is our shepherd. And the will of man, I know, has been deceived. This thing of free will, we have to be very careful of that, because every person of Adam's race, their will may be free, but their will before coming to know Jesus Christ is depraved. It cannot make right decisions. It cannot make right choices without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so to say that we're free to do what we want to do, we may be to a certain extent, but in salvation, he comes to us and makes us desire him. And so we find that when we follow the Lord, now he says, take up your cross. That cross is a burden. That cross is something that, not a literal cross. It's not something that we carry around and people see that and know that we're bearing a cross. But it's a burden of our life. Sometimes it's a burden of a Christian lifestyle. I read stories of people around the world, and they're bearing many heavy burdens. People that we know, some of them are bearing very hard burdens. And the Lord says, just take up your cross and follow me. As long as we keep our eyes on the Lord, as long as we keep our eyes upon Christ, then our burden becomes easy, because he helps us with that burden. One of the verses that we have used, he says, follow me, cast your burden. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take up your burden, take up your cross, and thank God he helps us. But he doesn't force us to do that. There's not an individual in here tonight that God forced you to become a Christian. The opportunity is there. The messages were preached. The Holy Spirit is there, active in our life. But he does not force us to be a Christian. Neither does he force us to be a good disciple. Therefore, we must carry our own burden and take that cross that he gives to us. This is not a new concept. The principle of that is found in the Old Testament with the Jews, the nation of Israel. God had given them certain blessings, and he made them to be people that would have a bright future if they followed his will. And of course, we know the story. They did not follow him. Then there was consequences, and the judgment of God would fall. And then it seemed as though every time Israel was being blessed of the Lord, they would somehow go wrong and make a wrong decision. They'd turn away from God. They'd think their possessions, their things, just like this young man had many possessions, and they would think all that the blessings God had given them, they forgot they came through the Lord. And they begin to trust themselves more than they did the Lord, and then the judgment of God would fall, and then they'd come back to God, repent of their sin, God would bless them, and they do the same thing over and over again. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Same thing with the child of God many, many times. So our burden is there, the cross is there, and it's not nothing new that the Lord tells us that we are to bear our burdens. So cross-bearing is a personal decision. It's something that's between you and the Lord. And if we do not bear our cross, if we do not bear our burden, if we don't take up our cross, then sometimes we bemoan that because of God's chastisement upon us. He desires that we follow Him. If we don't, He doesn't make us. But if we don't, then He tries to get us into line by His chastisement. That's number one. Number two, cross-bearing is a personal decision, a personal devotion. It's something that is very, very personal as far as your devotion. One man said this about bearing a cross. Quote says, "Nothing can set us apart for God. Nothing can make us holy except as the cross is working in us, because the cross alone can keep the hindrances to holiness in the place of death." As we carry the burden that God puts upon us and God gives for us, as we carry our cross as a Christian, then the world sees more of Christ in us. And we find that it is a devotion that we must have. We must be devoted to a particular thing to get the job completed and to get it done. If a person is not really devoted to something, they'll never complete the task. The task is there. We get started and then we quit. We quit a while, we start a while, we're not devoted to the task. But in this thing of bearing our cross, taking up our cross, then it must be a devotion that we have, be devoted to it in order that the Lord can bless us. And bearing a cross is not accidental, it's on purpose. Take up your cross. The Lord said, he doesn't say here that you might have a cross to take up. He said, take up your cross. Every Christian has a cross. Every Christian has a burden in their heart. Every Christian has a desire. And it's not accidental that we have this before us. It is an act of a supreme devotion from the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me. Take up your cross. Follow me. Take up your burden. Get behind me. Cast your cares upon me. I care for you. But he doesn't never say that he would leave and that we would be without a burden or cross that we are to carry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course we know that chapter as the charity chapter or the love chapter. And I believe it goes right along with what we're looking at tonight. Charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, does not vaunt itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's the real definition of love. Everything else falls under that. The end of that chapter says, "Now abideth faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Charity." That's the greatest thing in our life. And so we can bring that over to our devotion to the Lord, and we could substitute the word cross-bearing. Cross-bearing, or the cross-bearer, suffereth long. The cross-bearer is kind. He or she does not envy. The one that bears the cross doesn't vaunt themselves, doesn't show themselves to be proud. They're not puffed up. They do not behave themselves unseemly. The burden of a cross makes us to realize that we are to think no evil, but we're to think the things of the Lord unto them. The cross-bearer rejoices not in iniquity. We don't rejoice in people that go away from God. We ought not to rejoice when we hear somebody has fallen, someone has done things that they shouldn't do. We ought not to rejoice in that the person that bears the cross is burdened. You see, the cross represents a burden that comes to life. It's a burden that comes to our soul. The cross bearer rejoices in the truth, just as love rejoices in truth. The one that has that cross in their life, they rejoice at truth, and they believe those things of the Word of God. They hope those things. They endure those things that God sends upon them because they have chosen to bear that cross. They are the ones that have decided, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to follow after Him. Nowhere do you ever find the cross bearer gets ahead of the Lord. We follow Him. We follow His footsteps, His footprints. We follow His direction. We follow His ways. It just simply means we take the love of God as very important to us and to the world. It means to touch the lives of people that are sometimes unlovable, to help people that really don't want help, to be kind to people that despitefully use us, to be that person that's better than someone around them is trying to hurt them. I've always found it's better just to live above their standard. Don't be as low as they. Somebody says, well, they've done this to me, I'm going to do this. No, just be better than that. Take that cross, take that burden, and be better than that person and show forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bearing of the cross, it's very personal. It's a devotion that we have. And then thirdly, cross bearing is very, anybody know what the next word would be? Starts with a D like the rest of them. Cross-bearing is what? Very difficult. Difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy to have someone look at you in a wrong way as far as they're concerned. Why is bearing the cross so difficult? Why are religious things, why are biblical things so hard for the child of God? First of all, we are still in our flesh, and our flesh doesn't want to do it. We are saved. We're going to heaven. We have the understanding that our sins have been forgiven, but this old flesh that we live in still doesn't want to bear a cross. It does not want to submit. It does not want to take authority from someone else. So our flesh does not want to bear the cross. Romans 8:13. The Bible says, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die. To a lot of people are living after the flesh, and they're going to die in their flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, that means to put the deeds of the body to death. That's that sacrificial life, that crucified life. Mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We're going to live before people as God would have us to live. Our flesh does not want to bear the cross. Our flesh doesn't want to take up the cross. This old body, this flesh that we have, our minds that are so bombarded by the things of this world does not want to be on spiritual things. And so therefore it's easier to go with everyone else than it is to stand and be right with the Lord. And so the reason that we do not want to do it is because our flesh, it just fights against it. Paul says, those things which I would do, I do not. And then he turns around and says, those things that I would not do, that's what I end up doing. That's the battle that we have between the spirit and the flesh. They're never, never together. The only time they're ever going to be together is when we have a new body and we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is inconvenient to bear a cross. It is inconvenient to be different than everybody else as far as means and what. And I'm not talking about making a big show to people, but sometimes it's inconvenient just to be right. Sometimes it's downgrading from people just because we make a right statement. And so the flesh says, no, I'll keep my mouth shut. I won't say anything. Nobody will know how I feel. And I won't have to hear that. And so the flesh does not want to bear the cross. It's inconvenient. The flesh stumbles over the cross. It does not like or desire to bear the cross. And so everything about us, even though we're saved, even though we're a child of God, everything about us in this life, on this side of eternity, says no to taking up our cross and following Him. We don't want to do that. I don't want to be a spectacle in their minds. I don't want to be the old-fashioned old folk. I don't want to be the one that stands out. The Lord says, take up your cross and follow me. That's what was wrong with this young man. He didn't want to be different. He didn't want to have that. And so our flesh does not want that. Number two, the reason it is so difficult, we have an enemy called Satan, and he fights against us living for the Lord. He can never get our soul, but he can destroy our flesh. He can never get my eternity, but he can take care of my present right now. He can bring harm to us. And so he opposes everything to do because it means that self will not be long on the throne and we let the Lord take control. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul says, but I keep under my body as a spiritual man as Paul was. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. What's he doing? He's bearing his cross. What's he doing? He's following the Lord. He said, so I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul says, it'd be a terrible thing for me to preach to somebody else and then throw it all away. And so he says, in order for me to have a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others, there are certain things that I have to put in subjection in my life. Paul is the one that said, if eating meat will offend my brother, I'll eat no meat. It wasn't wrong to eat meat. But Paul said, if I go into a Jewish house and they eat no meat, he said, not to offend them, I'll eat no meat. That's carrying the cross. That's having the burden. That's living for the Lord. That's putting life in subjection and putting things in the right perspective. And so he tells us, he said, I don't want to be a castaway. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. They which are Christ. That means those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, they have to crucify flesh. And they have to crucify it along with its affections, the desires, the lust, the heart, the mind, things we want, things the flesh wants, that we know we don't need, we know is wrong. Paul says those that belong to Christ have crucified those things. You know what that is? Picking up your cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I. Paul uses a play on words here. He says, I'm crucified. That means I've died with Christ. But he said, I'm alive. But it's not me that's alive. He says, but Christ liveth in me. So the life that we have, Paul says, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. And Paul's talking about in his flesh. And for his flesh to be loved of the Lord and serving God, it had to be crucified. It had to be put to death. He said, I've been crucified with Christ, but I live, but the life I live is because of Christ that lives in my flesh. And what a wonderful story. He gave himself for us. He loved us. And he just simply says, take up your cross, follow me. Satan knows that every believer that puts it all on the altar, he knows that he will do anything that the Lord asks him to do. Satan is not afraid of you, but he's afraid of a crucified you. He's not afraid of you in the flesh, he's afraid of you in the spirit. And he realizes and he fears the believer that puts everything on the altar of Christ. And so therefore he throws all kind of obstacles, puts all kind of problems, all kind of difficulties, all kind of trials, because he doesn't want you to take up your cross. He doesn't want you to bear the burden. Our flesh opposes it. Satan opposes it. The world in which we live opposes it. Our friends, our family, even sometimes those of our own family and loved ones will oppose it. The world's philosophy, more now than I think ever has been, the world's philosophy is me first. I'm going to take care of me. Everything else falls under that. That's not the cross-bearing child of God. The world can do it all for me. I can do what I need to do. The world has all the answers, but they don't have. And the world will discourage a believer to bear his cross. We see this in so many different avenues of life. So our flesh hates it. Satan hates it. The world around us hates it. The only one that really matters is Christ. And he just simply says, take up your cross, follow me. And the last thing why it's so difficult is because it's a daily task. What I did today, I'm going to have to do it again tomorrow. The burden I bore today, it's going to be there tomorrow, and sometimes extra along with it. Luke 9:23, Jesus said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's a daily battle. He said, boy, I'm glad I'm out of that battle. Well, you got it tomorrow too. I'm glad that's over. Well, there's another one just over the horizon around the corner. I'm glad that's taken care of. I won't have to face that anymore. Oh, every day we have to bear the burdens of life. As we look at our lives, as we look at the lives of people, we understand that it does never change. Somebody says, my life is always the same. Nothing ever changed. And that pretty much is true. Oh, we may be in a different setting or a different place and different people around us, but life really does not change. It's a sequence of events, many of them burdens of life. Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. We sing the old song here, where he leads me, I will follow. I can hear my Savior calling, take up thy cross and follow me. That's basically what the Lord told this rich young ruler that went away sorrowful. And he was sorry because he had great possessions. Now, I have read some people that know much more than I do. I don't know where they get. I understand some of the things why they say it. But some people, some commentators believe this is Saul of Tarsus. And very possibly could have been. But there's nothing there that says it. But it was a rich young ruler. He went away sorrowful. And he didn't follow the Lord because he had great possessions. Take up your cross daily, the Lord says, and follow me. This day is about over. Here it is, 8 o'clock at night. 4 more hours will be in another day. We'll get up in the morning and say, boy, I'm glad yesterday's gone. Well, guess what? We got today. And it'll be at us just like yesterday. And tomorrow will be the same way. But I'm glad I can face it all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those songs says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Tomorrow's burdens are there, but because he lives, I can face them. Let's stand together tonight.